Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, folks, and welcome to the Metallica Report. I'm Stefan Shirazi, editor of the band So What magazine.
And I'm Renee Richardson, director of philanthropy for Metallica's foundation, all within my hands. This is your official weekly Metallica podcast, the only inside source, bringing you all the news from the band's HQ and studios deep in the heart of Northern California. All right, you guys, thanks for joining us again. We're into part two at HQ. It has been truly special to be able to do our pod on location. And for you, Steph, certainly closer to home, right?
Correct, because we are back at HQ, deep in the heart of Roswell, Northern California. As you will recall, last week's episode came to you from these comfy armchairs in the middle of the jam room at HQ, where we had a few of the mighty HQ team rolling on through, and Rob Trujillo even zoomed in to be part of the shenanigans. Kind of a fun day at work, wasn't it, Ray? Don't you think?
Oh my God, yeah. And you might also remember that we promised you we would spend this week taking you on a walk-around tour of the entire HQ building with my former cubicle mate, content and network Met on Tour main man and HQ veteran Jeff Yeager as our guide.
Let's gather and walk the corridors of HQ, shall we?
Let's do it.
Which way should we go first?
Let's go this way, which is towards the workshop. Let's go towards the workshop. This fantastic, my word. I mean, if ever you needed anything mechanical repaired, right?
Yes. And we're talking for all instruments, for anything, even here in the building. This shop has everything.
How many drawers are in there? I mean, I don't know what's in them. I'm afraid to open them. That would be Zach Harmon territory, right? That's...
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, Zach Harmon, who is, I guess he's the band's, I call him like the stage manager.
He's basically the band's equipment manager, but yeah. Within our organization, he is the fifth member because he handles everything that deals with the band.
Yeah, and he's been around since the mid-80s.
Correct.
Yeah, I remember him coming from Armored Saint.
Yes, he did.
Yes, indeed. Go on, Renee. What do you see?
I was going to say, you know, when I first came on here, this is where I first met Avi, and he was always back here tinkering with things and helping out.
And it's nice to see that there are two hammers on the wall. Cliff, you'll always be remembered. Cliff Burton, of course, always famously carried a hammer on tour, which is very important. If you're in a rock and roll band, you must always have a hammer. So we have two of them here, one with a rubber head, one with a full metal head, of course. There's wires. There's a prototype guitar here.
I was just going to ask you about that. We have a prototype of the ESP-shaped Snakebite, right?
Snakebite sounds good. But what's cool is this feels very much like, it feels kind of like a clubhouse in its own way, right? This is like a kind of an ultimate man cave. Because you got tools, you got a giant TV, right?
Well, pretty much when the band bought the building and moved in, they made it their clubhouse.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And this is a full annex of it. Yes. A giant shield, an Ulrich shield.
We had a contest in So What magazine to create a shield, a coat of arms.
The Ulrich coat of arms. It's a pretty massive piece of work. It's beautiful.
I have another question. The Smash guitar, this one. What's the history of this one? Who knows that story?
That I don't know.
Oh.
And that's the thing. When you wander around HQ, this is the thing you've got to know. We've been coming into this building. I mean, Jeff and I have been coming into this building since it was born, right? But there's always something new that you notice. You're like, I haven't noticed that. I mean, I'm just looking up at some of James's art, or framed art, above a storage room. Well, a very important room, I might say, that holds all sorts of audio archival material, which is pretty cool. But that's the thing. Let's go wandering on. So you'll notice that the sound is a little more echoey. That's because we are in the middle of... It's kind of like, I suppose, a connective corridor area, right?
Yeah, we've got. Sure. This is a. It's loading.
Loading dock. To my right, there's the control room where all the music is recorded. There's the remnants. You remember those Halloween parties?
Yes, we had very big Halloween parties here.
And we still have a very, very big skull. We've got bull heads. We've got, wow, there's all sorts of stuff.
I was going to talk about the painting, I think, that Jenna did of Greg Fiddleman,
yes.
Which is a beautiful, realistic, life-like painting of Greg Fiddleman with his headphones on, which I think is adorable.
And Jenna, being one of our fantastic team who works, it's a core merch team person, but also a great artist. And I like the fact that right near Greg's painting is one of those inspirational posters which says, dream big and dare to fail, I dare you. And that quote, according to this poster, is by James Hetfield of Metallica, with an eagle and a nest. I think that someone might be having fun with us here. That's what I feel. But the next time we speak to James, I'm going to ask him about his line in motivational posters. But I think the placement of it is pretty interesting. It suggests it's a joke. So, okay, we're wandering into the kitchen. The kitchen, dining room, all sorts of stuff happens here. I remember sitting at that table with Lars and James when Lou Reed walked in and being able to bullshit my way into sticking around and watching that whole thing happen, because we were told not to be around when Lou Reed came into the room, and I just happened to be there.
And this, for certainly anybody that watched the documentary, Some Kind of Monster, this is probably the most iconic setting because the chairs are familiar and the room is familiar. So I remember when I first came here and walked in and I was like, oh, this is here. This is really where we are. And it was kind of like a trip to be in it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you'll remember. Talk about your Some Kind of Monster experience here. And then,
well, they were making Saint Anger, and that's when I came on full time. And so I was here during the last part of making Saint Anger. So I was here when the film crew was here and all that stuff. So it was very interesting times.
Yes, indeed. But then we very quickly got used to them being all over the building. They did an amazing job with that film, you have to say.
Yeah.
I mean, it was incredible. The stuff they got is, you know.
I can imagine in it was a very different feeling, right?
It was definitely
crazy. Yeah. I mean, I don't know about you, and I would like to know about you in relation to this. I always associate this building with that project more than anything. What about you? You've got a different relationship because you're here all the time.
I have a different relationship because, you know, I'm here not every day, but, you know, I'm here a lot of the times. And before I started going on tour, I was always on the fan club side of the building. And you don't come to the band side of the building unless you were told to come to the band side building.
It was very much divided.
It was divided.
And then also, since then, I'm going to speak for you a little bit. Jeff does so many things for all of us that, like you're saying, it probably has evolved so much for you, you know, because this is a place of work. I mean, this is where things break.
Well, not only that, but my role within the organization has grown and changed a lot. And what I equate this building now is the band writing and recording, which I document everything that they do.
And, I mean, Jeff works hard. And we should go to the kitchen.
Yes.
Because the kitchen has changed.
Yeah, a little bit.
The snacks have changed.
The snacks have definitely changed.
All right, so Jeff, should we get into the snacks? Do you want to?
Yes, we should.
We're here now.
The snacks, yeah. Again, I'm going to go back to my experience of coming here, and as Jeff said, you know, the rooms are very separate. The working side is over there, and then you come in this side, and this is where the band lives and does their work and is creative. And the snacks on this table are just, I'm sure, quite elevated from a time long ago where the snacks were maybe like Doritos, but now we've got Power Curls, almond butter. We've got those Think bars. Got probably some of the best chocolate peanut butter cups you will ever eat in your life.
It's all very healthy, isn't it? It's become, come on, Jeff. It's become a lot healthier.
Yeah, most definitely.
Right. It has become healthier. So Renee has something to tell you about the milk.
Renee has now opened the fridge for those of you that can't see us right now.
Yeah, every kind of milk. You got your almond milk, you got your oat milk, you got your oat creamer, you got regular milk. Somebody is doing a pressed juice cleanse right now, so that's good to see. Don't know who it is.
Am I right?
Renee, I think you should open the freezer.
Oh, God. Is there a hand in here?
Oh, wow.
Oh,
I haven't had one of those.
The enlightened ice
I haven't had one of those yet. These are enlightened ice cream bars.
Are you going to open it any
later? I'll have it at lunchtime. Thank you. Thank you. I'm ready, but not quite now.
So this is the collaboration we did with Enlightened Healthy Ice Cream. They keep diabetes in check with their products, and they also do soy and all different flavors. But we modeled the ice cream bar after the ESP Truckster.
Yes.
And proceeds from this collaboration go to All Within My Hands.
Excellent.
For our Feeding the Hunger program.
And it's nice to know that the band have got a few boxes.
Yes.
It's great.
Yeah.
Am I right in saying this? That fridge really started to change when Kirk started to get like really into his juices I remember
almost
that being
definitely, yeah.
A switch point was when Kirk started getting much healthier.
Okay.
In his ingestions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah and it's followed suit because of course without making this a health pod, the whole band are now they're pretty healthy. So,
yeah.
But Kirk was the catalyst, yeah.
When they are here recording and doing all the many things they need to do as a band, a chef comes in so that meals are provided for them, and everybody has their things that they like, so the chef has to be flexible to... It's pretty much like it is on tour. One such chef, I'm just going to mention Karina because she's the greatest. She was working in merch. She was the one who would pack up your shirts and things and send them out, and then also had this wonderful dream of becoming a chef. So she would tag team, do some chef work here in this kitchen, and subsequently has moved on to open her own restaurant just down the road, which is really cool. And Karina's hot sauce, I just noticed, still on the door.
Excellent. Very good. So we're walking into the club side of things. Hey, Michaela.
Hey.
Making sure that you're picking up.
Tell the good people what your role here is.
A lot of shipping, receiving, sending good old care packages out. Yeah, just being around.
It's a very busy building. Like, you'd be surprised. That doorbell rings. There's things coming and going. People wanting to pick up things or drop things off. So
yeah, there's a lot of packages going in and out of this place, right?
Yeah.
A lot of packages.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Let's keep on wondering. Why don't you take us to your cave? Come on.
To my cave?
Yes.
Yeah. This is my...
Jeff's domain.
This is my cubicle. I call it the cave. This is the second location I've been in this building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But as...
We used to sit next to each other.
Yes. I had a roomie.
He hated it
upstairs.
When I moved in.
You have your Forbidden Planet poster. Very cool. And obviously a lot of Star Wars stuff.
A lot of Star Wars stuff,
which in and of itself, we could take up another pod talk. Well, it would have to be a long pod.
That would have to be a long pod, yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? If someone asks for it, we can do it.
We can do it. Right.
Talk about Jeff and his Star Wars fandom.
Yeah, right. Why not? All right, let's head back into this. This room is very interesting. It's the final room on this side of the downstairs floor of HQ. And at one point, this was the absolute merch nerve center. This is where it all happened. This is a blackened kind of personal storage space.
Yeah.
For like, for when the guys come in and they want to look after people and they want to like take care
just
of friends.
Just have stuff handy.
Yeah.
As
which
needed.
And this room, this was the old shipping room, and this is where everything used to come out.
This is the back room. This was the pick and pack room.
Yeah.
So when we used to ship orders from HQ, it would be all in this room.
Yeah, yeah, and a lot of good music was played back here.
A lot of good music was played back here by the pick and packers.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. It's pretty cool. I'm looking up. We're about to walk back out the doors. I'm looking up at the door hinge, and there is a St. Anger sticker, obviously, from back in the day. Like, it's faded and peeled and cracked, but it reminds us of when this place was the nerve center for your merch. All right, let's wander back out, and let's go upstairs here just to complete this side of the building.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things KISS. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
And we're back. We're going to continue our walk around HQ because we're upstairs. We just left the office area of the building and we're about to go back through the band side of the building. It's a bit of a maze, but follow along.
You want to go in there?
Should we? Isn't this the nerve center?
Well, this is called the server room.
That's the nerve center.
It's loud.
Well, let's just hear the sound of a... All right. Just listen to the sound of Metallica's servers. Everything we do is driven by this noise, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. How many locks does this door have?
That's two.
Wow. A lot, right?
We have a lot running through here, yeah.
A lot running. Yeah, we don't want to build it up too much.
No.
And as a matter of fact, maybe we'll just leave and pretend we weren't in here at all. We are now walking along another long corridor. A lot of corridors in this building, as happens. But these were the individual, well, they are the individual apartments that were built for the band to stay in. I'm standing outside a door which says Papa Het. Dirty Donnie came in and did the artwork that I'm looking at on the door, which is Hot Roddy. And James talks about this in both his books, actually, both the car book and the guitar book. Both of those have him talking about Dirty Donnie and what he did here. This door remains permanently shut, except for interlopers like us in half an hour. But, you know, James doesn't come and take his naps here anymore. No nap time for James in this room anymore. But it was one of the rooms that was built for, you know, for the band, and that was his. That's where he would hang out when he first came.
Less interesting toilet.
It's interesting.
Although it's very low.
a fantastic little sort of diorama of a tabby cat with James's head on it, which I think is kind of great. This next room I'm looking into, this was Kirk's room, and Dirty Donnie had painted, he had like surfers in here, right? Surfing, yeah, gremlins was, or
there
something.
There was surfing on this right-hand wall, yeah. And there was like a fire pit circle thing
That's
on
it.
That wall.
That's it, yeah. And so, but this one's changed, and one of the management team, I see that Bob's Big Boy hanging off the upside down off the wall. These are things you notice. There's so many little trinkets and weird but cool things. This room at the end was probably, or the penultimate end, was one of the most used rooms by any band member, I think. This was Rob Trujillo's pad, but it has now become a second sort of a control room or a third or a fourth. I don't know. How many fucking control rooms do we have now?
So this is Robert's room, and if you remember from Some Kind of Monster,
yeah,
him rehearsing the songs on the boombox, this is the room that he was
doing that in. Yeah. Yes.
Stefan alluded to earlier how Robert stayed here the most.
Yeah.
Yes, he slept here in this room.
Yeah.
And as I remember it, it was basically a mattress on the floor. It was pretty low.
Yeah, it was a futon bed.
Futon
bed.
Really,
so,
like collegiate looking.
Yeah, very, very.
Futon was always the fancy word for mattress on the floor, right? So, come on.
So Robert no longer stays here, and then this room has now sort of been transformed into an editing station.
Oh, right. Good.
Well, you think that was the end, but there's one more person.
Yeah.
Whose room is at the end of another corridor. So many corridors. And of course, this final room will be at the end of the corridor because it's got to be the final room up here, right? It's got to be the one.
Yeah.
Should we go a little closer than 15 feet from it?
Do you think? Read to me what it says.
Will there be a giant fist that will come and punch us as we come to get stay away? All right. We are standing outside a room that has a stool, a pair of Adidas sneakers, some black clothing, a little bit of gaffer tape with Verhelvede Productions. And if he was on the other side of that door, he'd be coming out and correcting our pronunciation, of course. Should we? I mean, do you think the listeners can guess who we're talking about? Who would be behind this door?
It's also got a peephole, which is interesting. But yeah, this is Lars.
So is Lars can see if he actually, But he also does actually use this room quite a lot, it has to be said.
Yes.
This is a sanctuary escape for him from all the well, it's not exactly madness here, but if he needs a quiet spot, do some meetings, whatever.
Yeah.
He still hangs in here quite a lot. So at this point, he is the band member who uses his private space the most, right? Is that fair to say?
Most definitely, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, we're going down the back stairs now, and that's the thing. It's kind of a little bit like a maze. You can sneak around and, you know, you can avoid areas if you need to. So we're going down the back stairs now.
I have one more question for that Jeff might know. In the building of this place, was it one section first and then piecemeal together, or did this kind of all come together at once?
So before the band bought the building, this was a recording studio and rehearsal space.
Okay.
So
it had the bones for that.
So it had the bones of that, and the band actually rehearsed here along with other bands like Journey, Santana, okay. Grateful Dead. So the front side where we did the fan club and management offices, those all used to be isolation rooms.
Okay.
So when people would come and record, you know, a guitar or a violin, and they needed, you know, a real quiet spot to do it, that's where they did it. So when the band bought the building, they wanted to have their fan club and offices in the front. So that all got torn up.
Okay.
So really, since the band bought the building, the front side where the fan club and the offices are has been the most transformative spot in the building. Control room, Studio A, Studio B, and Jam Room, for the most part, are pretty much the same. When we get to Studio A, we can talk about how Studio A has transformed
evolved
over the years. Yeah. Yeah.
I remember doing a round table, actually, in one of those isolation rooms before they bought it, when they were still just hiring and working out of it. Little did we know that they would own it. And now we're entering the control room. So I'm walking in and looking to my left. If any of you have James's Messenger's book, I'm standing staring at the end papers. You'll have seen the photograph of those guitars. I'm staring at them right now. As a matter of fact, I could reach out and touch them. I'm not going to. I think one of the things I wanted to ask you about, actually, I've never really asked you, is when they're recording, you're constantly filming everything in here as much as for their reference, right? So as if Lars needs to go back to something that happened, he can consult your footage. Is that right?
Mostly it's either Greg or Sarah will say, hey, can you pull up the band playing such and such song? I need to see what Lars was actually doing and what he was hitting.
Got it.
So not only is it documentary, but it's also referencing.
There's two massive speakers here, but there's these tiny little outer reference speakers, and those are the speakers I like listening to the playbacks on the most, the smallest ones. I hear better out of those. It seems to be clearer, but there's speakers for all tastes, yeah. Is kind of the point.
Speakers.
And to the point of my audio engineering ignorance, I'm looking at a massive pile of racks and buttons and God knows, which is quite comforting because it shows you that not everything is digital. Not everything's on a computer. I mean, it isn't.
No.
But no. But anyway, this is the Nerve Center. This is where Greg tirelessly works, it has to be said. All right, we are about to walk into Studio A, heralded as we are by a Danish flag. This is very cool. Jeff can probably give the history of this, but I will say that it is a small sort of constructed with baffles and kind of, it's kind of like a cabana almost, the studio cabana. But you have direct eye contact with the back of the monitors. I think Greg could peek at you through between them, but you're as close to the aquarium because it says above this glass, don't feed the fish, because we're looking through into the control room from this isolation booth. But this is where a lot of the magic happens with him, right?
This is our vocal booth.
Yeah. Okay.
And when we were doing Death Magnetic, we actually bought like an isolation booth for James to do vocals. And it was very small and kind of a little claustrophobic.
Yes, I've been in those before.
So Zach, being who he is, built this out of foam, you know, with Greg's help. So yeah, so this is a permanent installation. Right here is James' vocal booth.
And it's appropriately covered with banners.
And it's got more banners, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And I have to say, I think what's really huge significance is that it's a Brazilian banner that's in the back, and it's a massive impression of Cliff back there, which obviously I'm sure that many of you can figure out that's an inspirational thing for James, based on that famous Ross Halfin picture with the two fists out and Cliff just looking straight ahead. But it's pretty cool. There's also, I'm going to say, is that a Polish flag? What is that one?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, I think it is a Polish flag is in there as well. So, all right, let's move back through. There's an Argentinian flag here. We're going to be here. There's another Polish flag. Goodness gracious. I think this is a Bulgarian one. There's a Bulgarian one. There it is, local chapter, the Bulgarian local chapter. But what's really significant, I think, about this room is how much it has changed over the years. It's had many stages. I mean, there used to be a stage up here.
Yeah, so this was the rehearsal room. So when Metallica, before they bought the building, they would come here to rehearse. And there was a stage that basically took up three-fourths of this room. And it was probably about hip high. And the band would load in through the roll-up door.
Yeah.
You know, bring all their cases in here. And then, you know, Zach and all the, you know, guitar techs and drum techs or whatever would set up the band's space up here to rehearse. And that was there for a long time.
Yeah.
Long time.
And it used to gather a lot of equipment.
And then when they bought the building, they left the stage here, and then all of St. Anger was written and recorded right in front of the window in front of the control room. And everyone can see that, obviously, in the Some Kind of Monster movie and all the different videos that we've done over the years.
Now, when I came on in 2019, this was like, it looked like a Costco for guitar cases. It was wall to wall guitars and basses and instruments.
Yeah, after St. Anger, you know, the band started accumulating more things. So this basically became the storage.
Okay.
On the stage. So they had basically racks and racks and racks of guitars.
Everything.
Yeah.
I mean, goosebumps.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think also one of the most significant things that's happened in this room since the building opened was obviously the fan club, the pandemic gig that happened in here.
All Within My Hands show.
All Within My Hands.
Yeah. The streaming
that
show.
That was this room?
That was this room.
Oh,
that was this
room. And they had the panels all around.
So that was one of the big transformations in this room is the guitars went away to storage, the stage went away, the stage has been in this building for probably over 30 years at that point. So when they decided to do the All Within My Hands show, where are we going to be able to do it? Where it can be controlled and still stay within COVID policies, blah, 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 blah. Let's do it in Studio A.
It was obviously there was the Vineyard stuff that happened, but for the movie screens. But I think that was the most significant, one of the two most significant events I remember in this building.
Yeah.
But it was really such a groundbreaking moment, not just in terms of COVID and what was going on, but also for everyone connected with the band. People hadn't been close to each other.
No.
People hadn't spoken in the same room.
No.
The band hadn't played in the same room, and it all happened here, and it was crazy, right? I mean, it was squared off.
So the idea was to clear this whole room out of everything. I mean, literally, the only thing that was in this room was the drape that you see hanging up on the walls here. Yeah. Nothing on the floor, nothing anywhere. And then they built video screens covering all four walls.
It was floor to ceiling.
Video screens.
And when you talk about, you know, first time being all together, but the fans and the band could almost be closer because they were speaking directly to fans who were on that wall. Like you could ask your question. And it was like person to person in between songs. You're asking a question. You don't get that at every...
Like world's biggest Zoom call.
Yeah.
But it was kind of interesting. I remember looking at that and thinking, I wonder if this is... is this the future?
Yeah.
Is this how it's going to be? Of course, it's proven not to be the case, but...
It's an option.
They did break ground with the technology, and it is there, and it's available. So, this room is very special, I think, for that as much as anything. But it also... We talk about the transformation, and one of the questions we've had is, you know, like, what happens here? You know, when the band aren't here, are things happening? It's like, if you could see the size of this room and the gear that's in here now, and you could imagine the gear that was in here before, and it all being emptied out, and it all being reconfigured again and again and again. This is a beast that keeps on moving.
Yeah.
You know, wherever the band are, this beast keeps on breathing and living and moving, and there's always something going on, and... I mean, you can answer to that more than anyone, Jeff, right?
There's always something going on. There's always projects to work on.
Yeah.
There's always something new coming up.
Yeah.
Not necessarily new music, but there's always projects being worked on.
So, all right. Well, look, Jeff, thank you very much for helping us walk around the building.
My pleasure.
Right, Renee? I speak for both of us.
Totally. It's great.
Wonderful tour guide. And, you know, I still feel we've only, we've barely touched the surface. I mean, we could really super nerd out.
Here's the fridge that has the regular drinks.
There we go. Regular drinks, like proper, like sodas.
proper sodas.
Sodas. Yes. Sodas that are bad
normally
for you.
Normally, this is for
yeah.
crew people.
Sodas that are bad for you. All right.
And there you have it, our audio tour of HQ. I think we all learned a little something. And if I can share the words from our producer, Christian, he called HQ the Abbey Road of the American West, which I like very much.
Yeah, he was certainly freaking out over that Neve console, yeah. wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
But it is a fine statement, and it is one that stands the test of analysis, as we've hopefully shown all of you during these last two episodes.
We are so glad that you came along for the HQ tour and deep dive these last couple of weeks. Thanks for that.
Yeah, once again, thanks very much to Jeff Yeager for all his assistance. Really, really appreciated. And thanks to everyone in the HQ building for all the help. You're all royally appreciated, and what an important part of the family you are and this building is. And with that, we should probably just let it be and get back to our families. So until next week,
see ya.
The Metallica Report is produced by Metallica HQ, Pantheon Media, and Pop Cult.
If you like what we're doing here, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Be sure to visit Metallica.com/podcast to submit your questions, offer your thoughts, and become a part of this podcast.
Copyright 2023, all rights reserved.